The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go.
Welcome to Final Girl Standing. In one corner of the ring, we have Alyssa, the final girl who doesn't always feel like a girl. And in the other corner, we have Jesse Tucker.
Welcome to Final Girl Standing.
I didn't know you were going to do air horn sounds too.
There was going to be air horn sounds.
Okay, good. Yes. I like them.
On this podcast, we introduce and score two different final girls from two different amazing horror movies, which we have watched prior together. And after taking copious notes, we will then be pitting them against each other in a
March Madness style bracket.
Yes, bracket. It'll be a fight to the death. Post-fight to the death, they will move on in our March Madness style bracket against other final girls. The end. And Alyssa, who are we fighting this week?
Who are we fighting this week, Jesse? Thank God you asked. We are fighting Anita from Jennifer's Body, as well as Carrie from Carrie.
Wow. Amazing. Okay, I want to preface both of these by saying I am new to both of these movies. Mm-hmm. So unlike last week where I had seen both of them, mm-hmm. which was, for those of you who haven't watched it or listened to it, whatever, Cabin in the Woods versus Alien. Mm-hmm. Carrie and Jennifer's Body are new to me. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, the construct of virginity isn't real to me, but my eyes are virgin eyes when seeing a new movie. Mm-hmm. So I have virgin eyes this episode.
I love your virgin eyes. So I have seen both of these movies. And not only have I seen both of these movies, but I have a personal and intimate relationship with one of these movies, which is Jennifer's Body. Gay films all around. And I think, as always, we'll be introducing sort of our final girls one by one, sort of figuring out what their vibes are, kind of figuring out where they might stand in this fight. And then we will make them fight. And one of them will win. And one of them will die.
Amazing. So before we actually go into the introductions, I would love to go over what a final girl is to us.
Great. Let's do it.
So to reestablish our expectations, a final girl means that a certain number of people have to die.
In the movie, correct?
In the movie, uh-huh. Not everyone. Mm-hmm. And she has to be one of the surviving ones. So mm-hmm. she has to survive the film. Mm-hmm. She has to be a key player in eliminating the threat. The one left to tell the tale.
Beautiful.
The one we're rooting for.
Romantic.
Embodies the spirit of the final girl. This one's crucial, really.
It is. Because there are people who I've left out of this bracket because I didn't feel like their spirit was final girly enough for me.
It's true.
Sorry, keep going.
It's all good. It's all about the vibe. Franchise girls will get their own brackets, mm-hmm. as we know. And we reserve the right to not abide by any of these rules at any time. And we're going to kick off this episode by already breaking one of these rules in classic fashion
do in this podcast. Rules are clearly not followed because we're rule breakers, Jesse.
Wow.
We're just like a couple of rebels.
Just a couple of rebels in here. Wow. All right. Do we want to begin with Carrie? Because that's what we watched first.
Yes. I think we should start with Carrie.
Okay. Amazing.
Carrie White. Carrie White is a average teenage girl in the town of wherever the fuck that Stephen King has set this universe. We think it's the Midwest.
It's Maine?
I think it's Maine. Because that's where all of Stephen King's books are like in Maine, right? But we think it's in the Midwest somewhere or the Northeast, I guess. And for some reason, there's palm trees. But again, that's probably because they filmed it in California and not in Maine. But Carrie White, just an average girl in this sort of Carrie universe. However, Carrie is a little bit different because Carrie's mom is a psycho and Carrie is a girl with telekinetic powers. And when it comes to Carrie, we actually do have Carrie's birth chart.
I'm so curious to know her chart because I have theories for Needy in Jennifer's Body, but like with Carrie, I'm kind of like question mark.
So we don't really have Needy because we don't have any like birth date stuff. Like we don't have, yeah. So, okay. So Carrie, Virgo sun.
Okay.
Scorpio moon.
Oh, oh.
And we don't have her rising because we don't have the time.
That's fine. Because we at least, wow, Scorpio moon with telekinetic powers.
I know.
Is a dangerous energy.
It's a dangerous game to be playing.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, can I tell you my first impressions?
Yes, you may.
Okay. First, Carrie, first impressions. Okay. Why does everyone hate Carrie?
Literally, that's the question I cannot stop asking myself.
Yeah. What's... Okay. So my first impression was, why does everyone hate her? Is it because she's bad at sports? And then I said, ah, it's because of her conservative Christian mom. It should be noted, this is how we're breaking the rules with Carrie. She is not the final girl, which brings to our attention other things. Like, for example, Friday the 13th, that makes Jason the final girl.
It does make Jason the final girl.
But regardless, she's not the final girl. It's technically Sue. But we're talking about embodiment of final girl
of
energy.
Of the spirit, of the energy, of the vibes.
Of the vibes, of the...
Also, it's our podcast, so literally fight me.
Exactly. Okay. So, and I have like first impressions of the movie as well.
Okay.
Can I share a couple of them?
Yes,
just because,
of
like, okay, because it was my first, it's my virginal
yes,
eyes.
Yes, your virgin eyes.
It was my first time. Okay, first off, full bush right out the gate.
Full bush.
Wow.
It's the 70s.
Yeah. These girls in their underwear mm-hmm. are just like Ripley's underwear in Alien.
I have that written down. I'm like, so one of my things that I said was that I think the general underwear usage of women of the 70s. And 80s like needs to be talked about more. I think we need to bring this into the light and how, you know, we talk about oppression of women in general, but let's talk about the oppression of people's vulvas in the 70s.
I feel like there were not as many options for undergarment, and it's really devastating to witness.
It is. And that's probably why some of these people suck so much is because their underwear are too tight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. My God. That makes so much sense. So Carrie's mom needed to find the theater, not the church.
Yes. Yes.
Because
theater could save another.
She's... Every line she delivers is like
dramatic.
It's drama.
It's full of camp.
She wears a cape everywhere she goes. If this woman would have found the theater instead of church, Carrie might not have gotten bullied.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. The real star of the show here is Tom Ross's hair. Tommy Ross.
Mm.
The blonde curls. Yes. It's like when they're on the screen, I can't look at anything
Tommy,
else.
An unproblematic king.
I know. I didn't know that for most of the movie. I basically was like, Alyssa, these people are horrible. I hate
and I'm like,
Tommy.
You don't understand, Jesse. They're okay. It's these other assholes.
Yeah. In my notes, I think at one point I wrote, okay, 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 okay. Sue and Tommy are okay. the horror is everywhere because it's the 70s. Because the 70s are just bad.
Terrifying.
And that's the only real horror here. Also, Norma is gay because of her gay hat.
Yes.
There is a girl wearing a hat with rainbows, and she wears it at all times, even at prom, and she's gay. Those are my first impressions of the movie. Thank
Great.
You. Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing.
Okay, tell me yours.
So my first general impressions of Carrie as an individual is just that, first of all, why does everyone hate Carrie? Like this, the answer to that question is never answered, not in the movie, nor in the book, because I did read the book. No one ever answers the question why we hate Carrie. I think that people are just, you know, shitty in this universe. I'm actually going to go into this, some of the skills and thoughts. Volleyball skills, 0 out of 10. Gets hit in the face with a volleyball immediately. And also, I think that Carrie, there's something about Carrie that just like feels like a metaphor for periods.
Okay, I literally wrote down, is this a period movie?
Like, it feels like it's just menstrual in nature, the whole movie. And I feel like, obviously, like, the telekinetic powers pop off when she gets her first period, right? Yeah.
I never made that connection.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. She gets her first period and the telekinetic powers pop off. Also, I'm currently on my period, so I feel like this is a very serendipitous moment.
Wow.
To be having this podcast. So maybe I'm going to get telekinetic powers after I leave here today. I don't know. I think in general, like the idea of like her developing kinetic powers throughout the movie is a testament to like how she continues to deal with the trauma of the movie. You know what I mean? Mm. And I think that if Carrie had access to therapy, like maybe she could have used her telekinetic powers for good. You know what I mean? Instead of bottling up her trauma until one day she has to release it.
Yeah.
And she does by burning down a gym full of people.
Yeah. I mean, she does it by destroying the decorating committee's amazing prom that
they put together.
10 points to the decorating committee for prom.
The promtage at the beginning of the prom scene was erotic.
Love it.
I was a fan.
Okay. I'd love to hear more of your.
Okay. Yeah. So more of my thoughts about Carrie. I was going to say that her sewing skills, Tim Gunn would be extremely proud. Also her knife skills, top chef, chef's kiss.
Mm. I love a chef's kiss as a rating. That's genius.
Not only is she good with a knife, but she's good with a needle, and she's good with a braless, like silky, like prom dress. No one can pull that off, but Carrie White pulled that off.
Ooh, yeah.
What are your general thoughts about Carrie's like skills?
Yeah, I definitely have scores, and it's making me laugh a lot because we have very similar thoughts.
We're just one mind.
We are. Okay. Communication skills, 2 out of 10. At the beginning, she gets her period, and I get it.
Yeah.
Traumatizing, super scary, no one likes it. Mm-hmm. But she takes her period hands and then grabs others.
Yeah.
Which is just not the vibe.
It's like, not the vibe.
Ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for help.
Yeah.
Okay. New scoring. The Belle factor.
Okay.
Explain. I say this because Belle isn't the Disney princess because I gave it 12 out of 10 libraries because when she discovers she's having telekinetic powers, she hits the books.
Yes.
She goes to the library, which has an astounding collection of books on the occult. Instagram influencer potential.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this has two components to it because I gave it 5 out of 10 ring lights.
Okay. Ooh.
We've got 15 points for hair.
Oh. Yes.
Carrie's hair deserves its own Instagram account.
Immaculate.
But negative 10 points for her skincare routine because she legit takes a bar of soap and rubs it on her face.
She rubs it on her face.
And I was like,
that's not it.
This is the end.
Yeah. She needs a toner, a serum.
Yes.
Yeah.
A
light moisturizer.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Where is the night mask? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Sewing skills.
Uh-huh.
I rated it 30 Tim Gunns.
Oh my God. We're the same human being. Tim Gunn would be like, yes.
He would say, she made it work.
You made it work, Carrie.
Prom hotness. I gave it its own score. Uh-huh. 100 dirty pillows.
100 dirty pillows.
Which for those of you who aren't aware, that's what
her mom calls her. Also, wait,
titties.
Okay. I also made a note that Carrie, being the like budding sex educator that she is, trying to normalize bodies, her mom's like, they're your dirty pillows. And she was like, breasts. They're called breasts, mom. And everyone has them.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Carrie.
We love it, Carrie. We love to see it. Constitution, 16 out of 10.
Okay.
Because of all the spinning that she does with Tommy on the dance
floor.
Lots
of spinning. Yeah. No one throws up.
Nope. No throwing up. No falling over. And general telekinesis powers / self-defense, 500 armed Houdinis is what I wrote.
Armed Houdinis?
Yeah, just because like Houdini is like a magician, telekinesis, and then also like armed because...
Like has guns?
Because she like uses knives and things and like,
And the hose, the water hose,
exactly.
The fire hose.
So it just feels like she's armed.
Yeah. I mean, having kinetic powers is being armed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, agreed.
Amazing.
Do you want to know the moral of the story?
I always do.
The moral of the story is no hitting.
No hitting. Let's stop hitting each other.
Boys hitting girls. Girls hitting girls. Teachers hitting children.
Yeah.
Teachers hitting each other, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
It's all chaos.
Yeah.
Moms
hitting daughters.
We're not here for it.
We're not. Moms locking children up in closets.
Yeah.
And making them pray to that weird Jesus Barbie.
Oh, Jesus Barbie is the star of the show.
It is.
Okay. How do you feel about Carrie?
I feel like we've established Carrie's skills, Carrie's vibes. Let's now hop into our next lady, who is Anita, sometimes known as Needy, from Jennifer's Body. So I could honestly start a whole podcast about Jennifer's body. But essentially, we start off Jennifer's body, and Anita comes right out the gate by going, "Hell is a teenage girl." And I'm like, wow, I'm already horny. And Anita is what I would call a general like high school badass. Like, I think what Anita's power is very similar to Carrie's power is that she's just a girl in high school trying to figure her shit out. And then like demons come into play somehow and she handles it like a fucking badass. And I think that when we talk about Anita, we're talking about a girl who comes from a home where her mom's not really around because her mom's working really hard to provide for them. And Anita has this boyfriend that she's really close to and feels like she's built a healthy relationship with. And then she has this best friend, Jennifer. And Jennifer and Anita have this horny, sisterly friendship connection vibe.
So here are my first impressions of Anita.
Yes.
First off, she's a kicker because
she's a kicker, ladies and gentlemen.
We start off that she's in prison and I'm like, whoa, this is not the vibe I was expecting. And then I was like, is she the one who's telekinetic powers? Little did I know. She gives me take off the glasses and now she's pretty vibes.
Yeah.
Pisces ass. Mm-hmm. Constantly being gaslit.
Yeah.
By everyone. Everyone who's close to her.
Everyone.
Even Chip.
Chip is a unproblematic or a problematic fave.
I mean, he's very classic high school boyfriend.
Yeah.
Not in that, like, he's okay.
Yeah.
But he's also.
But he is a man.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and I highly believe that she's a Pisces because, like, she gets walked over constantly. Mm-hmm. She's making emotional connections for everything.
Yep. She's doing the emotional labor of everyone in this movie.
And she's, like, kind of telepathic.
Yeah.
With Jennifer, and I think mm-hmm. that is like a highly empath channel,
yeah.
like very Pisces energy to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love this movie. They had so many food references, like salty, meaning that you're like beautiful or something like that,
salty,
right?
Yeah.
I wrote down lime green jello. Can't remember what that's about. I also wrote down penis cheese. I have no idea. Did they say penis cheese?
I don't remember penis cheese.
I have no idea, but it's something I wrote down.
Uh-huh.
It gives me major Twilight vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's funny you say that. Because it was in 2000, not to be like an archaeologist on Jennifer's body, but I kind of am.
An archaeologist
of Jennifer's body.
An
anthropologist, if you will. But in 2009, when the movie came out, it was marketed as the Twilight for boys because like they could get horny around Jennifer the way that like girls were getting horny around like Jacob and Edward.
I have a really controversial take. This movie is not for men.
No, it's of course not. First of all, the woman who wrote it is a sex worker.
Oh my God, wow. Okay, that's
And the woman
powerful.
Who wrote it did not write it to be this like horny, horned up. Like it's a, again, this isn't a Jennifer's Body podcast, but.
But it could be.
But it could be. Sorry, keep going.
Through the trees, 0 out of 10. I want to rip all
through
my arms
the trees.
And legs off. Oh, it fits perfectly with kill me, please.
Kill me, please.
Okay. Do you want to do your scores or?
Ye. Okay. So, Needy. Bullshit meter, 10 out of 10. This girl walks into, what's the bar called again? I don't know, the bar of Devil's Kettle. Walks into this bar with her BFF, immediately spots the shitty white men in the corner, and she's like, these guys suck. I can tell these guys suck. I know Jennifer's like all over them, but they suck, and I am not here for it, right? Incredible bullshit meter. And I think throughout the entire movie has a really great bullshit meter. And I think a bullshit meter is helpful. I think it's a helpful tool, not only in life, but in fighting. And I'll get to that. Sexual safety, 10 out of 10. Is using condoms.
Bought the condoms from Super Target.
From Super Target.
Come on, Chip.
You know what I mean? They're on top of it. They're trying to protect against STIs and unprevented pregnancy or unintended pregnancy. So great. I said big brain energy. She is in the occult section at her local library at her school. And again, not sure what schools that Carrie or Anita go to where they have a occult section, but lit. Love that for them. Demon slaying skills. I mean, slays a demon. Like, do you know how hard it is to kill a demon? I've watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and it's hard.
I've only watched like a few episodes of Buffy.
Okay.
Well, which is a problem.
I mean, yeah, we'll work on that together. Yeah,
okay.
Also, canonically is a Home Depot lesbian.
Yes. She's so butch.
So butch.
Okay. Amazing.
That's my thoughts. Those are my initial thoughts.
Those are really good skills. Scores. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is really putting her as a strong contender.
It really is.
Here's my scores. Negative 20 points. Doesn't know who Phil Collins
what
is.
What the fuck was that?
Have you not seen the animated music video?
The animated Tarzan? Music video that is Tarzan? I'm sorry.
Wow. It's unforgivable.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Friendship score, 110 out of 10. Yes,
a friend that I would want.
Totally. She like calls out these fucking eyeliner wearing D-bags. Eyeliner's fine. But fuck these guys.
Fuck these guys.
Oh, I call him Moonneck.
Moonneck.
Because of the tattoo.
Oh,
on his
Moonneck. Yeah, yeah,
I call him
yeah.
Moonneck. Uh-huh. I don't remember his actual name. But Moonneck sucks shit.
Moonneck does suck shit.
And so friendship score for being like, fuck you, blah, yeah, blah, yeah. blah. Okay, mm-hmm. I love it. Stealth skills, negative 7 out of 10. This will come into fighting because remember when she's investigating her house when she hears a sound?
She does the white girl thing.
She just whips open doors.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Whipping open doors, investigating strange noises. That's not smart.
It is
not smart,
so
hun.
Bad.
Yeah.
Although cleaning skills, mm-hmm. 10 out of 10.
Cleans a puddle of black vomit.
That black nasty goo is gone by the time her mom gets home. Oh, Snow White factor mm-hmm. actually is going to be an honorary giving to Jennifer.
Oh, because she's a demon and that makes her an animal or?
No, just every time that she gets alone with a man,
uh-huh.
just like all these animals flock around, right? Oh,
yes.
She disembowels them.
Yes.
So like all of these little woodland creatures come up and it's a lot of them. And I was like, whoa, Snow White factor, 10 yeah. out of 10. Go Jennifer.
Jennifer has the Snow White factor.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Going back to Needy, offered hoodie to Chip. Take that, gender roles.
Hell yeah.
She is susceptible to seduction.
Mm-hmm.
She like has a bunch of fucked up shit happen with Jennifer. And then Jennifer's like, but what if we kiss?
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, yeah.
But honestly, you're telling me that if Jennifer tried to kiss you, you wouldn't be like.
No, I actually think I would definitely be like, what the fuck?
See, I'm similarly to the way that I was horny for Sigourney. I know that Jennifer's body was like, everyone's like, oh yeah, Jennifer's so hot. You know what I mean? But like, they don't really get it. It's not a sapphic hotness the way I believe it is hot.
It's very, like, listen, uh-huh. I love the scene.
Uh-huh.
Do not get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
But this bitch literally just broke her windshield and now wants to kiss.
Yeah.
I'd be like, get the fuck away from me. You broke my windshield.
Jennifer is problematic and a bad friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Carrie tries to go in for a little,
smooch,
it's over.
Yeah.
She's going to stab her in the throat.
It's true.
With a telekinetic
susceptible.
Knife. Sorry, no foreshadowing.
Susceptible to sapphic energy in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Carrie's got that.
Yeah. Carrie's got all kinds of sapphic energy.
Did you see her in the shower at the beginning of the movie?
I know.
Okay. Do you know how many times she said no to a boy? The boy with perfect hair?
I know.
I mean.
That's a lesbian.
She's a lesbian.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, she also has the bell factor. I gave her 15 rolling ladders because, like roller ladders.
Oh, you know yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of researching mm-hmm. the occult. And her formal dress, though, Needy's formal dress, negative 5 Tim guns.
I know you hate that dress.
I do.
I love that dress.
I know, but I don't like 80s aesthetic like you do.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's very 80s.
It is. It's very 80s.
And like.
It just feels correct for me, like in the context of the entire movie.
Extremely fun for the movie and the role, but Tim Gunn would look at that
Tim
and
Gunn
be
would
like,
say that did not work.
God, I love him so much. Okay. The moral of the story is there are two. I have two.
Okay.
Don't get into anyone's van.
Yeah. No. Oh my God. I would agree.
Because
never.
If Jennifer just like didn't get into that van,
it'd be great.
No problems.
No problems.
They might not even have any friendship issues.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that Jennifer does kind of shame Needy a lot.
I totally
really believe in this friendship. I'm gonna be honest.
Okay.
The other moral is sacrifices to Satan work. Like,
yeah, they do.
Like, they got really famous.
Yeah. Should we sacrifice something? Like, should we find a virgin to like,
I don't
to get this podcast off the ground?
Or
I also don't believe in virginity. I don't believe in virginity. It's not real. It's not a thing. It's not a thing.
So,
but my thought is what if we did like a ritual? Just like a, you know what I mean? Like a ritual in the vein of a Jennifer's body ritual, but like without murdering anyone and without praying to Satan.
I think it's really a strong argument to leave out the murder.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We did not murder anyone. So for the police listening to this podcast,
no murders were committed during the making of this podcast. Okay.
Okay. Are we making them fight?
Is it time to fight? Should we like add this audio in later of like ding 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 in the other corner is this bitch?
Yeah, I think maybe that'd be interesting to like add like just general
like just some vibes.
Yeah. So here's the scene. So we have Anita in one corner. We have Carrie in the other corner. What are they in the corner of? A gymnasium on prom night. What's on the line? Their lives and prom queen. First thought, Carrie throws something from the gym at Anita with her mind just to kind of like lay the foundation.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like to start the fight. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are they're both in their formal wear dresses.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Okay, perfect. Uh-huh. So they're in their dresses mm-hmm. and Carrie like sees Needy from mm-hmm. across the way. Mm-hmm. In my mind, Carrie does not initiate violence.
Mm-hmm. She wants to initiate kissing.
I think Carrie is like, look at this dress I made.
Yeah.
You know, and Needy strikes me. Okay, we're talking about Needy at the end of the movie.
Yeah, she's a kicker.
She's a kicker. Like, bitch is not the same.
Yeah, no.
Like, she is full on aggression, and
she's a killing machine.
I have a target.
Yeah,
my target acquired.
Yeah,
and like, here we fucking go.
Yeah,
and I think Carrie is kind of like, well, if you threaten me.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to do something.
Totally.
But if I don't feel threatened, mm-hmm. I'm just a nice girl with totally. Amazing hair.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. So the reason I said Carrie throw something across the room is because someone's got to start this fight. And I feel like, I don't know, it'd be really cool if someone was just like, ooh, throw something.
I feel like they kind of like approach each other. And they're like, kind of
hold hands.
They're like, I don't know. And Carrie's like, wow.
Wow.
Did you make your dress too?
Should we kiss?
And then they don't fight.
And then they don't fight. And then both of these girls move on to the next round.
They're both prom queen. No. Okay. So here's what happens.
Okay.
In my mind, Carrie like saunters up
uh-huh.
and Needy's like feeling it,
yeah,
you know, because mm-hmm. she's not only aggressive, but she's also like sexually aggressive.
Yeah.
For sure. Uh-huh. At this point. Mm-hmm. So she kind of like saunters up as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's like kind of leaning in. Mm-hmm. Needy is like in love with this hair.
Yes.
And gives it a little touch.
Uh-huh.
But Carrie.
Uh-huh.
Feels the threat
uh-huh.
because Carrie's very empathetic as well.
Yes.
And can tell
uh-huh.
that this bitch has aggressive intentions. So from the side,
uh-huh.
very similar to what you just explained.
Okay, yeah.
A place card holder for like a number at a prom table flies up and
hits her in the back of the head.
Knocks Needy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in the side of the head
uh-huh.
for sure. Breaking their embrace.
Uh-huh.
This is the first
breaking move. The sapphic tension.
Yeah, exactly. Cuts it like a knife and then smacks her in the side of the head. That's kind of the first move for
okay.
me. Mm-hmm. We get like now Needy's skin is
yeah.
boiling
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens next?
What do I think happens next?
Yeah.
I think you want to know what I really think?
Yeah.
She grabs her by the hair.
Oh my God, the hair.
Yeah. She grabs her by the hair.
But it's so strong.
I know. So that's my thing is that she grabs her by the hair, right? She tries to pull her to the ground because that feels like a Needy move to me. She's a kicker. She feels like she goes for cheap shots.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But she has the strength to not go for cheap shots. I think though that she still is a teenage girl who's scrappy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So pulls her by the hair, pulls her to the ground. Carrie's now like, what the fuck is happening? I thought we were going to kiss, right?
Yeah.
And so Carrie's like crying. And because when Carrie cries, bad shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, like, things start shaking, right?
Yeah.
Like, the room starts shaking, and Needy's like, oh, I did not expect this bitch to start making things shake.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Carrie, like, kind of is afraid of her own powers.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Carrie kind of runs to a hiding spot, like, behind the bleachers or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. she, like, runs for cover as the room starts to shake.
Uh-huh.
And, like, stuff starts to go down.
Okay. Yeah. Carrie's hiding in a corner. Needy's like, what the fuck is happening? I need to annihilate this bitch, right? And so then Carrie, like I said, the room is shaking, right? And I think because of that, maybe something like part of the rafters fall, hit Needy to the ground, right? So Needy's now trapped underneath the rafters.
Oh my God. Okay.
What happens next?
So if Needy's trapped under the rafters, okay, here's where I think the fight's going to come down to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Needy is clearly very powerful.
Yeah.
And, Carrie is just very powerful emotions.
Yeah.
So the more scared that Carrie gets,
mm-hmm. the more violent. Like, yeah.
She could really tear this bitch apart.
Yeah.
But, you know, Needy can also kill a room full of douchey band members.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I think. She's trapped under the rafters.
Uh-huh.
But she's a kicker.
But she's a kicker.
So she kicks these bitches out of the way.
Nice,
and just like,
nice.
And like sends them across the room.
Uh-huh.
That then like crashes into the bleachers, which is where Carrie's hiding. And then she's like stuck in this like bleacher back area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there,
mm-hmm.
I think that the disco ball.
Uh-huh.
Actually, there's no disco ball at this one, I don't think, is there?
There's a disco ball wherever. I want there to be a disco ball.
Okay. Actually, I think there is a disco ball at this.
At the prom tage, there's definitely a disco ball.
Well, there's also all those stars.
Yeah.
And I think that they just fucking drop.
Are they sharp?
Yes.
Okay.
They're very sharp. The disco ball, also heavy.
Okay.
So then they all just like, there's no way Needy's not getting hit by something.
Okay, yeah, totally. I think that the natural next step in this fight is for Carrie to light something on fire.
Okay.
With her mind.
Do it.
So I think Carrie, right? So Needy got stabbed by a star.
Yes,
right?
For sure.
And Carrie at this point is like, I thought we were going to be friends. I thought we were going to kiss. I thought I was going to have my first female friendship, right? And Carrie's crying, right? She was under the bleachers. She was crying. She was sad. And now she's just like, what do I do? Like, how do I, like, she has a crisis moment where she's like, do I end things violently the way I know how to end things, right? Or do I try and do what I've never done before, which is work through my emotions, overcome my feelings, and make friends with this bitch?
Okay. So what's her move?
She doesn't do any of that. She lights things on fire. Everything's on fire now, right? Everything is on fire. Carrie's like, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then Needy's just like trying to get her bearings, right? She's like, okay, what the fuck is happening, right? And I think what happens next is that Needy taps into demon powers, because I feel like fire and demons go hand in hand.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And because of this, I think that she summons a hellhole.
Whoa.
I think a hole opens in the ground of the gymnasium that is fire and brimstone.
This happens in Carrie.
Yeah.
Like Carrie opens the whole hell.
Yeah. So that's exactly. So I think
the hellhole. Sorry.
So I think Needy opens the hellhole, but I think Carrie is going to be able to deal with the hellhole because Carrie has hellhole experience.
Oh, so she's going to like patch it up?
No, I don't know. I feel like I don't know. What do you think happens next? We have a hellhole.
Well, we have the hellhole. The whole place is on fire right now.
Yeah.
In my brain, I was like, Needy is climbing for higher ground.
Mm.
So initially she goes for the stage.
Uh-huh.
And her big ass, definitely like flammable garment is on fire.
Okay.
Like as she's crawling up.
Because we know Carrie. We know Carrie's wearing like a slip, right? Not as flammable.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tight to the body.
Exactly. And so like Needy's on fire. She's climbing up higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
The room is still shaking.
Uh-huh.
And something falls on her to put out the fire. And you know what it is?
What?
It's a bucket of pig's blood.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Okay, so she's been extinguished.
She's been extinguished. She's no longer on fire. She's
extinguished by the blood.
Yeah.
And I think demon powers go well with blood as well.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
She's loving this.
She's living for it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so we got a hell mouth open, right? Anita is at the top, right? Trying to, like, having just extinguished herself with blood. Carrie is now like, okay, there's a hell hole. Like, I'm scared of falling into a hell hole.
Yeah.
Right?
At this point, she was still trapped behind the bleachers.
Yeah.
And I think they're getting sucked into the hell hole.
Ooh, like together?
No, I'm thinking that the bleachers are getting sucked in.
Oh, the bleachers are getting sucked into the hell hole.
And so she's like trapped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like sucking in.
Yeah. Okay. I want you to give me how you think this fight ends. And I'm going to give you how I think this fight ends.
I think that at this point, Carrie gets swallowed by the hellhole, kind of like she does in the film, and that Needy finds some kind of way out. Because while Carrie is like kind of, you know, she got what, 12 bells
yeah.
or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
in my book smart.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to like really go into resourceful survival mode.
Yeah, she's going to go in panic mode.
Exactly. And I think panic mode has left her immobilized emotionally. And while the shit might be on fire and all this stuff, like she's pretty much done all she can. And the hellhole is like taking her down. Mm-hmm. And Needy strikes me as somebody who would be like, I'm going to find something to break this window open. Yeah, you know what I mean? And escape.
Okay, can I tell you how I think it ends?
Yes.
So Needy, drenched in pig's blood, stands over the hellhole, looking down. Carrie, being sucked into the hellhole, starts praying for dear life. All her mother has taught her is how to pray. She's praying, right? And then with a demon voice, Anita says, there is no God. And then she gets sucked into a hellhole.
Anita does.
No. Carrie. Oh. Carrie gets sucked into the hellhole as she's praying to God, who doesn't exist in this universe because Anita is a demon or has demon powers and is communicating with the demons. And a demon comes through her and says, there is no God. And then Carrie gets sucked into hell.
Wow. And somehow this pig's blood makes her like immune to the flames and the building collapses around her in a pile of ash.
Yeah.
But she...
And she walks away just like she did walked away from the ash of the Devil's Kettle Bar.
Wow. That's powerful.
It is powerful.
Anita wins.
Anita fucking wins.
Anita wins. I genuinely did not know how this fight was going to
turn out. I didn't know either.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Well done.
Choo-choo!
Hark, what's that?
It's the train pulling into the appreciation station. Thank you to the Burly Girlies, our lovely band that plays our opening song, Horror for Horror. Thank you for lending us your sweet dulcet tunes.
We love those tunes. Thank you so much. Thank you to Prince Jackson for making our dreams a reality. Thank you to the Goodnight Network in general, because this is a Goodnight production. Lucky us.
Yeah. And just some general gratitude I'd like to throw out there. Yeah. I want to thank Jennifer's Body for being a movie that exists in the universe. It really has done things for me that I cannot even begin to describe. Most of them.
Maybe we shouldn't describe them.
Yeah, most of them are not safe for this podcast. So thank you for Jennifer's Body. And also thank you to Jesse for being my partner in crime. Love you lots.
I love you so much. I want to thank Satan for also doing things that people are incapable of doing themselves.
Yes. Thank you for the sacrifices that have brought us to this day. Yes,
exactly. Sacrifices to Satan work. Remember, kids.
It's true.
And I want to say thank you to Alyssa for being the mastermind behind this creative project that we have together. It is such a joy in my heart and my mind and my body and my soul and my spirit.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
And I want to thank the listeners, because without you all,
we wouldn't have a podcast
talking into microphones, which we'd be doing anyway, but it's so much more fun with
when
you
people
all.
Listen.
Yeah. So thank you. If you are following us along, or if you need to follow us along, Alyssa, how can they do it?
Let's do it on social media if you're going to follow us. Don't follow us in our homes or anything like that. Do it on social media. You can follow us on Instagram or on Twitter. Our Instagram is FinalGirlStandingPod and our Twitter is FinalGirl_pod. So follow us on there. We'll be tweeting and posting informations about the bracket, all things Final Girl Standing. So be sure to follow us and yeah.
Yeah, so next week we have a matchup of Danny from Midsommar and Sally from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So be sure to tweet us your predictions.
Tweet us your predictions.
Yes.
And don't forget to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Midsommar.
Exactly. That's your homework so that you can make sure that you're in on the tea and you know that, you know, any spoilers and stuff like that, so we can all be on the same page, because as we post on social media, we're going to keep updating that bracket, baby.
Woo.
So you will get to follow along in this journey to find who will be the final girl standing.
Oh,
it's the podcast.
And a final rest in peace to our hero, Carrie. She fought a good fight. She is now burning in hell somewhere.
Yeah. Rip in peace to that sweet, sweet lady.
We're going to take a moment of silence now to respect our fallen final girl. Here we go. Amen.
Amen. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.